You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Reckless speculation.
Reckless speculation.
Yeah. Welcome in to a Reckless Speculation Thursday of Mackie and Judd here. We will get our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson on the show today as well for some inside information about our local Minnesota sports teams. Nice little win for the T-Wolves last night. We'll probably touch on that with our friend Dugues. Gentlemen, I think we should do a little itinerary here for the Vikings. There's some organization of what do they have on their hands as they look to make roster moves over the next 5 or 6 weeks here. They need to get younger and faster on defense. They need to fill about 7 different starting positions, you know, center on offense, maybe a number two wide receiver. So how do they get rid of some of the old, collect some value if possible? Basically, if they started dangling veteran players in trades, what could they get is the exercise I would like to go through with you guys today. But my first question is, do you think they're going to look to trade some of these guys? Like, it's easy for us to sit here and say, oh yeah, make some phone calls on Dalvin, Adam Thielen, his wife is chirping on Instagram about, you know, him feeling slighted. To what extent do you think the Vikings will actually shop some of these veteran players?
I don't think a ton. Like we'll go through the list and there are some names that I think you could at least try to shop, but you know, Thielen and his contract, right? And his age and his declining play. Are you really going to get, like, are you going to ask for a 7th-round pick? Are you going to ask for a 6th-round pick? I mean, unfortunately, in this day now with where he stands physically, there's not much to get there. So it's not like they're going to take the entire list of guys that we're about to talk about and be like, let's work those phones and we can move them for a 2nd-round pick or a 3rd-round pick. And I think at some point in time, there just becomes a reality that the relationship is going to end, and it's going to end with a guy being cut. So it's probably not as much as Vikings fans would like to think.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, go ahead, Dax.
I was going to say, it depends on the veteran player. I mean, everyone says, well, Kendricks might have value, but also like the Vikings can cut him for basically nothing and save the money. And I think other teams probably recognize that as well. We'll just wait till you cut him and it's not a penalty much for you. So why would we trade you something of an asset when he's just going to hit the open market and we can negotiate that way? So maybe Harrison, I don't know what you're going to do with Thielen. I just don't know, unless he agrees to the restructure with that new team. I think that's going to be tough. So it depends on the players we want to talk about. But I think with those aging core veteran players, I don't know if there is really much value to be had there.
I think let's start with Eric Kendricks. I think you guys are right. He's 30-year-old linebacker, or 31, whatever he is. Mm-hmm. He has lost multiple steps. We looked at his PFF cover. He used to be one of the best cover linebackers in the NFL for like 3 or 4 years, as recently as 2 years ago. And he's now one of the worst cover linebackers in the league. You can see it with your eye test. The Vikings are almost certainly just going to cut him because there's almost no penalty to do that. Now, the advantage, if a team thought there was one more year left of Kendricks and they wanted to use him in a different type of defense or something, the advantage to trading for him would be that if there's a market for him, you don't have to fight with other teams. But I don't know that there's much of a fight even with him as a free agent. So let's start with him. Does he get you anything back if you trade him? Like a 7th even?
No, because to your point, I don't think that there's a market. Like you need to call a team and say, hey, look, I'm talking to 3 teams about Kendricks.
Yeah.
And all of them are champing at the bit to get Eric Kendricks. And a team's like, oh my God, okay, I'll give you a 5th-round pick. The decline in play, like, you know what? Good or bad, Eric Kendricks is the poster child for the type of guy that the Vikings have taken off the cliff. Mm-hmm. Like, there was probably a chance last year where if you made some calls, it'd be like, ooh, interesting. Now he's gone off the cliff. Every metric says so. So, no, I think you say thank you very much, release him, and that's that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll do a nothing burger for Eric Kendricks here. We're making our list here. Okay, Adam Thielen. It would have to come with a reworked contract, obviously. He has a $19 million cap hit, which is the second highest on the Vikings right now, and it's among, like, the 7 to 10 highest wide receivers. But if you just look at him as a player, would a team come and say, all right, pending a new contract, we would love him as, like, a third, a slot guy, a reliable set of hands, a contending type of a team that's looking to put – I mean, the Packers. We get a bunch of young receivers. Maybe Randall Cobb is gone. Adam Thielen comes in as kind of a number three receiver. He's got a great relationship, apparently, with Aaron Rodgers based on, you know, some of the things they've said about each other. Wherever Tom Brady winds up. Okay, Tom Brady goes to the Raiders or something. They got Devontae Adams over here, and they got – does Adam Thielen fit in somewhere? Would a team give up a sixth-round pick for Adam Thielen?
Not unless he agreed to restructure his contract with that team.
I think he would.
Well, but here's the thing is, I think he would say, release me then so I can just pick. So he would say, I'm not going to restructure until I basically just sign a new contract. This is so, the Thielen thing to me is so intriguing because here's what we don't know. He's, you know, his wife, I'm sure, was conveying his frustration about his use or lack of use. But what we don't know is he hasn't come out and talked at all yet. So, like, was that in-season frustration that's now passed? Like, there is a chance, and I don't even know if I like this thought, but there is a chance that when it's all said and done and things calm down, he would become Chad Greenway. Like, once things calm down, he's not mad now. He's like, yeah, I did decline. I wasn't, you know, I got mad because I wasn't used. But you know what? I've got a chance. I'm a kid from Detroit Lakes. I think he's from here. I got a chance to play my entire career here. You know what? I'd like to. I'll restructure.
I don't think that's how his mind works.
I think you're probably right.
He has an ego, man. Like,
I think you're probably right. I'm just saying this is a really interesting thing because despite the fact that I'm sure his wife was passing along how he felt, it is a third party. I would just love to know how this is going to go. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting one.
Here's a dumb question.
I think
and I get right. the bit of a different level of stature for this player, but was Julio Jones traded?
Yes, right?
It was it was a year ago. The Falcons traded a 33-year-old Julio Jones for a second round pick. So he was that was when he was traded to the Titans, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it was a couple years ago. He was like in his early 30s.
Yes.
So it wound up being like a second round pick. I just think for some of the, and he was coming off injuries, and obviously Julio Jones at his peak was a Hall of Fame level receiver. Thielen not quite on that level.
Right.
But I just think if there's a team out there looking for just another weapon, there's always guys that float around like that. Can we put Thielen, unless you guys totally disagree, can we put him down for like somebody would give you a sixth round pick, a fifth or a sixth round pick for him? Or do you want to fight that?
I personally don't think so. Like, I think with the wear and tear and the attrition, but I mean, what's left? Like, he can't.
Well, dude, he still went for like 70 catches this year, right?
I know, but the separation.
He still got 700 yards worth of, and he can score some touchdowns.
Yeah, but if the separation gets worse.
You're making it sound like
worse,
he's like totally cooked. He's cooked as a second wide receiver.
I think he's got good hands, but I think he's totally cooked because unless he comes back next year with basically new legs. The lack of separation is frightening already.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the lack of separation is frightening, and it's only going to get worse. He can't separate.
But there's what I'm saying is there's room on a team, not as a number two guy making $19 million, but there's room on a team for 70 catches, and 700 yards, first downs, and some red zone reliability.
But why am I going to trade for him when I can force your hand to release him and now I can just work out a new contract that's a fresh start?
This is like I'm like Kwesi begging you, who are you? No. Which general manager are you? Like, you're the Packers or something. And I'm like, no, but he's still great.
I don't want to be Brian Gutekunst. Don't make me Brian Gutekunst. I'd rather be Steve Keim.
Okay, Dex, break the tie here. I'm saying we put a sixth round value. We're trying to make a list of what could you get at the end of the day for all these players. Mm-hmm. Judd is saying nothing. I'm saying fifth or sixth round pick. Or side with one of your parents here.
I think you can get a fifth for him. I think you can. Here's the other interesting part that they could throw in. Could you throw in a draft pick to the other team to make them take the damn contract?
No. You would just cut him. No, dude. What?
Okay. We're just adding to the conversation. You told me to pick a side. I don't love either of your sides, so the kid is going to throw in a curveball to both parents' terrible suggestions and bring up another suggestion that I'm just throwing out there.
But the reason why I think he gets cut is because of that. That contract, I don't want to even deal with it. I don't need to. If you cut him, now I just sign him to a new contract, and you're on the hook for everything else.
Well, I'm going to ask a dumb question here. So part of the reason why his cap hit is so high, his guaranteed money is low, is because the Vikings already paid him a huge bonus that they have to now prorate multiple years on their books, right?
Yes.
Is there any rule in the NFL where you could give a team a draft pick where they would take that cap hit off your books?
No.
I think that's just on your books.
They can't.
It's a sunk cost, right?
Correct.
Okay.
It's yours.
So I think it would be like you'd rather cut him than give up a draft pick. In the NBA, sometimes you would do that because like the most of the contract moves into the other team.
Happens in the NHL a lot too. Happens in the NHL.
This league doesn't. Yeah, this league doesn't allow you to get nearly as creative.
No.
As hockey and basketball do.
Okay, Harrison. Sorry, are you still mad? Are you mad at me because I chirped you there?
Not chirped you. It was just a suggestion, and you acted like I crapped on your floor or something. I was just saying that it's
and
a possible.
He sided with you too. He tried to suck up. It was a little bit of a chirped him.
It could be a future pick. I'm just saying. You know what? I'm just to spite you. I might make this a write that down prediction just so if I'm right, I can get double credit.
Don't you think
they're going to give up a draft pick and Adam Thielen for
it's
nothing?
Not happen.
To get the team to take it, maybe. Never know. Sunk cost.
So there's nothing to take though because.
I'm out.
There's no more guaranteed money left for him, and the cap hit is on your books.
I'm just thinking someone can come in. You never know. Robert there could Brzezinski be a sucker. Come in here. There's always a sucker. There's 31 other teams. There's suckers.
Yeah, you'd be the sucker if you put a draft. Here's a first-round pick to take
I'm not
Adam
saying
Thielen.
A first. I'm just telling you could throw a future draft pick attached to it to make it sweeter. That's all I'm saying.
Let's get Brzezinski on the show. So
I'm just
going to
sit back here and watch you two fight about this.
Okay. Dalvin Cook. Now, a few months ago, Jeff Wilson, who's just kind of a part-time, you know, he's a 27-year-old part-time running back, good player, but not a bell cow. He was traded for a fifth-round pick at the deadline. Dalvin still has, now there's a lot of like metrics and things, and your eyes would tell you that he's not the same player that he was. But Dalvin is coming off another 1,000-plus yard season, 4.5 yards a carry. He's still mostly in his prime, although like, we see him enough to know that the end is probably coming a lot quicker than people think. But
yep.
Is there a contending team? If Jeff Wilson was worth a fifth, what would Dalvin Cook be worth?
In season, I think you could get something for him. Off season, I think it'd be very tough. Because again, I don't want his contract. I might want his services.
Yeah.
To go back to one of your original points, Phil, I guess my question is this. With Dalvin Cook, could you create a market? Now, some will say, absolutely not. You're an idiot. He's a running back. And those folks might be right. But can you create any type of market? With that position, I just have my doubts. So I think he just gets released.
Wow.
I think you could probably get something for him. He was a really good running back. I think you can potentially, and you can still kind of maneuver this contract to a degree. There's still 3 years left on it. I think another team can do something with this. I think you could probably get a fifth. You could probably get a fifth for him. Get anything up higher, I would you know run away with it. But I think you get a fifth.
I'd love to get a fifth.
I think you can get more than a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
I think again, there are teams that like the Buffalo Bills. That's the first call I would make. Okay, ooh. Buffalo. You guys are feeling the pressure. You got Diggs yelling at your quarterback. You've kind of hit the same glass ceiling. Josh Allen is your running game. So what do you want to take the next step here? What do you need offensively? You just need another guy to help you not be so reliant on deep passes down the field to your wide receivers. I would call the Bills and I would say, give us a third round pick.
I don't even know if they have a third round pick, whatever, like third or fourth round pick. And I would start the conversation. You got to find a desperate contender that thinks that has a little bit of wiggle room cap wise, that thinks that a guy like him would be a final piece to their Super Bowl puzzle.
If Thielen had more left position wise, I would say that the scenario you just presented could work for him. I think there's so few teams in 2023 that are going to pay for a veteran back. Like if Buffalo decides, by the way, if he got
Jeff
released,
Wilson got a there's a fifth for
in
Jeff
season, though,
bleeping Wilson.
That's a desperation in season. I sort of like that. Like I think at the deadline now, especially since it's become far more viable and active. I think at the deadline that works. I don't think Jeff Wilson gets you squat once the season's done.
Okay, so Declan, I think yes. So you think you can't get anything for Cook? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't. Like, no.
Wow. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Phil, you said the most important thing is where am I going to create the market? Like, can I get three teams who are like, oh, yeah, I'll give you something for Dalvin Cook?
I don't think the league thinks he's cooked. He just ran for, like, what, 1,200? What was his final tally? Like, 1,200 yards? Let's check it out.
He's a well-respected back. He's made three straight Pro Bowls.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be like a Hall of Famer anymore for him to be valuable for a team. So he ran for 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns, 4.5 yards of carries, coming off 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons. You know, he caught 40 passes. Like, that is, I don't think teams look at that and say, oh, no chance we're giving up a fifth-round pick for that.
I think teams look at the carries and the workload and say, I'm not going to give you a thing for it.
Wow, nothing for Dalvin.
So far, I'm 0-4. Oh, my Vikings. God. Okay. I'm cutting everybody.
Wow, okay. So I guess we're going to, Declan and I kind of outweigh you a little. So we'll say a sixth rounder. I'll just put a sixth rounder down here. Okay. Danielle Hunter. We kind of went over this a couple days ago.
This is a good one.
We can just quickly let's put a, what do you think, a second rounder?
Yeah.
Judd says nothing. You get nothing for Danielle
Hunter. Absolutely nothing. He's cooked. He's done. No. Second rounder.
I think the floor of a second. I think you can still get a first, but I think you can get at least a second.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like a late first?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Not like a top five pick, but yeah, I think.
He definitely is an intriguing one.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Harrison Smith.
What's that contract again?
Let me look it up here.
He's going to have to smooth that puppy out for somebody.
Okay. Harrison Smith. So you see how much guaranteed money's left. So the cap hit for the Vikings would be $19 million this year, but his base salary is 14. Gotta find the guarantees here because it's the thing that matters. He's guaranteed nothing, however.
Okay, so that helps.
So he's ripe for a restructure. So you could pretty easily bring that down, but then again, the Vikings could. It's actually fairly expensive for the Vikings to cut him this year, so they do have some leverage. They could tell teams, we're probably not going to cut him, but if you want to trade for him, that's the only way that you could get your hands on. It's a very good safety still.
And he's 33 now?
Yep.
He'll be 34 when the season starts.
So I think of all the names that we're going through, save for Daniil, I think that Smith is back. But if he's not, I think you could get a fifth-round pick for him.
Okay.
I think you'd definitely get a pick for him. I think he plays a position where his savvy is still incredibly important, and safeties don't have to be the quickest guys.
Yep. Yeah. And it's another one of those guys. This is kind of my logic with Dalvin Cook too, that he's not going to be the best player on your team, but you'd be trading for a final piece to a puzzle. Or if you're a defense, you're looking for just like
a savvy safety
that can make some plays. Like he's an assistant coach sort of on the field.
Sure.
I'm just like so excited about like vomiting in my mouth because of how much I love Harrison Smith here. Fifth round pick, we'll say for
sure.
All right. Kirk Cousins.
Oh God, you had to go there. You had to open up.
I knew it was coming.
It's worth discussing.
Okay, so first of all, he's gonna waive his no trade clause.
Yeah, well that would be a pretty easy thing to say. Hey, we're getting rid of like five or six veterans. We are resetting our salary cap and winning is not our top priority in 2022 or 23.
This might surprise folks, but I actually think Kirk Cousins, if you did all of this, which by the way, to be very, very clear, Cousins Crusaders. I don't think they're going to do. But if they were to do this, I think you could get a very high draft pick for him. Like, he is a incredibly viable starting quarterback coming off a year when, yeah, his stats are down, but the 8 comeback wins in the fourth quarter are incredibly impressive for a guy who, at least until 2021, struggled to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you have a team that is set to go, like the, you know, like the Raiders right now, if they liked Kirk,
mm-hmm.
I think you could get a high draft pick.
Mm-hmm. I think it is. Let's call it a second. Let's call it a second round pick. Can you get a second round pick for Kirk? Can you find a team like the Raiders or the Colts or a QB hungry team?
A third for Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I would look for a third in this year's draft and a conditional first in 24.
Win a playoff game or something.
Yeah, playing time. Well, Carson Wentz was attached to conditional picks.
Yeah, I like the conditional
picks. And I think he triggered it with the Colts, right?
He did, yeah. He had to play like 75% of the snaps or something.
If the Raiders call me and say, oh, we hate Carr, but our team is good and we need the ability to come back. Like, we need to win games, right? I'd say, okay, cool. But if you win games, I need more.
Yeah.
So let's make it a conditional first.
The Raiders, all of that logic makes sense, but they could just spend money to get Tom Brady and not have to give up a pick.
Yeah. But I mean,
do the Buccaneers come into play?
Right.
The Buccaneers, we got a bunch of veterans running around. Again, I don't think this is going to happen either. But to our conversation a few days ago, or maybe it was last week about Cousins, if you've decided that you're going to just play out the final year of his contract and move on, then you might as well shop him and see if you can get. I mean, this is how often do you have a chance to trade something for a first or second round pick that's that valuable?
I would be now absolutely shocked, floored. I would fall out of this chair if that took place. But yeah, I think if you could get a conditional first round pick, like a first and a third, that and the conditional first round pick drops to a second if the team, let's say, does not qualify for the playoffs. I mean, I think that's a doable scenario, if nothing else.
And I know this is a long time ago, but didn't the Vikings give up a first-round pick for Sam Bradford at the last minute out of desperation?
Yep. Yes.
So,
can you imagine if you traded Kirk to a desperate team coming out of training camp?
Oh, my God.
He'd have
to waive it, obviously.
Because Trey Lance is starting for you.
People kind of got on us yesterday. There's a lot of people that are completely out on Trey Lance, and I hear it. Part of it's just his contract's not as valuable as it would have been 2 years ago because he's going into year 3 of his rookie scale. But
right.
So if you Vikings move all of these old players, and Patrick Peterson's a free agent, so you can't trade him. Jordan Hicks is a free agent, you can't trade him. So some of the veterans are not.
Hicks is
tradable.
No, I think he's back.
Oh, you could trade Hicks.
Yes.
Yeah, he does have.
I mean, he's got no value, but yes, I think he's easily cuttable, but he's right now scheduled to be back.
I mean, is there any value there? Probably not. If we said none for Kendricks, yeah.
I mean, it'd be like trying to trade me. I'm so slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do with all these players, Cousins, Hunter, Kendricks, Smith, Thielen, Cook, you'd be getting a second, maybe a second, nothing for Kendricks, a fifth, a sixth, and a sixth.
All right.
You'd have some draft capital. You go from 4 picks to like 9 picks or something in this.
Oh, absolutely.
Draft.
Yeah. And guess what? Those guys can play. Despite what we think here, there's no rule that says a 6th-round pick can't play as a rookie.
No, it's shocking, yeah.
You know, just quickly before we get to Dugs on the Trey Lance thing, which, by the way, I wrote my 5-point Trey Lance trade chip piece for my friends at VikingsWire.com. Can I say this about the entire QB thing? For folks who are like, oh, that's a terrible idea, you're going to draft one and stuff. All of this is sort of a crapshoot. So, like, why do we think, or why do folks think, well, Trey Lance, he's been hurt, he sucks, he's not good? We don't know that.
Mm-mm. I agree.
I don't think you can say he sucks.
But people are quick to dismiss what might be alternatives, I feel like.
Yeah.
And also, like, no one is, yes, people are quick to dismiss alternatives, as I was earlier in this episode. But, like... Wow. If Trey Lance plays well enough, is that what you were referring to?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm just saying people are quick to dismiss players. Let me get this straight.
So you could either, you're saying you could trade Adam Thielen for a fifth round pick, or you could trade him and a fifth round pick to somebody else.
I'm saying you get the fifth, right? So you get
you said
fifth
you
from...
said you hate your parents. You said you said you hate your parents' options.
Yep.
And one of the parents' options was trading Thielen for a fifth round pick. You said, I hate that. Here's a better idea. What if we trade Thielen and a pick and get nothing?
No. That's not what I was implying. I was implying you get the fifth back. Okay, so I agree with you in that. I'm saying then you throw in a conditional pick in the future draft to make them take the damn contract off your hands. That's what I'm saying. Okay. That's what I was saying.
Okay, just a second.
That's so uncomfortable.
I'm not uncomfortable. I was trying to talk about the quarterbacks.
I'm sorry. I just short-circuited when Declan said, let's give a pick and Thielen.
Yes, you did.
No, why don't
you
just hang on to Thielen
totally
or cut him? Just cut him then.
Like, you looked at Dex like he might be the stupidest human alive.
I'm sorry.
No, you did.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, Trey Lance, don't dismiss things that might make sense.
No. All right, we'll talk to Doogie on Mackey and Judd today as well.
Reckless speculation.
Trade talk.
Juicy rumors.
And happy Reckless Speculation Thursday to all who celebrate. It's a day where we get to, under the safe umbrella of no judgment, speculate on things that may or may not happen with our Minnesota sports team. It's always funny when things come out of this Thursday segment, or you know, somebody will pontificate about something. You know, maybe Judd has a trade idea, and people are like, "Classic Score North clickbait." We're just having fun. We're just speculating.
Soft as usual.
So we bring our friend in from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department, Darren Doogie Wolfson, and the Scoop Podcast. We'll get into some Viking stuff, but last night, another, probably one of the most impressive Wolves performances of the season so far. They're exactly 500 after 50 games. They're clinging to the 9 seed, but they're a game and a half out of the 4 seed. Everything is scrunched together. So what do you make of the current Wolves? And also, what are you hearing about potential moves as the trade deadline looms on the horizon, dudes?
Well, hello. Happy Reckless Speculation Thursday, gentlemen. Let me start with the former, then I will get to the latter. By the way, Phil, yes, last night was impressive. When you win in New Orleans, it's nice right now. No Zion. Brandon Ingram was gone for, what, nearly 30 games. So, yeah, he was back, but going to take him multiple games to get his legs back underneath him. Brandon Ingram was horrible last night, but hey, the Wolves are down guys as well, right? Like, we know how important Torian Prince is. Look at what the Wolves' record is with Prince in the lineup compared to out of the lineup, plus Carl Anthony Towns, Jordan McLaughlin. I did note on Tuesday with Judd Phil that Jordan is about 2 weeks out. So I can't give you a timeline on him. I can't give you a timeline on Carl Anthony Towns, who on his Twitch late last week volunteered that it is a grade 3 calf strain. That is the most severe. That is an 8 to 12 week recovery. Sometimes you need to undergo surgery. No surgery in this case. I can tell you he's been doing some work on the court, some boxing work off the court. I think he'll be back at some point. Like, I don't think it's a season ending injury, but he is still weeks out. But with McLaughlin, he's close. Like, he is now ramping up activity on the court. They will absolutely welcome back Jordan McLaughlin. On Torian Prince, short-term injury, should be back in the next game or two. That is not any sort of long-term situation. But yeah, I mean, they played well in that third quarter last night. I still think, like, the Memphis win here, the Cleveland win here on a back-to-back, like, there have been better wins. Even the Denver win here, even though Denver played the night before, like, there have been better wins, but yeah, that was a nice win. But Phil, that to me is who they are, right? Like, what we've seen the last couple games, right? You lose in Houston, you win in New Orleans. Like, I think at the end of the year, end of the regular season, at least, we will look at it and say, okay, 41-41, that makes sense. Or 42-40, or 40-42. Maybe there will be a little bit more fluctuation, but like, I think 43 wins max. I think 38 wins is the floor, like somewhere in that ballpark, right? But if they finish 41-41, I will not be surprised. Now, this year, 41 wins may actually get you as high as the 6. I would think the play-in is more likely at 41, but the Western Conference is so darn weird. But I loved how they played in the third quarter last night. You know, Anthony Edwards is taking that step that we thought he would take. It now goes back, what, 6-8 weeks, right? That massive leap that a lot of guys like John Morant of Memphis did last year, year two to year three. Year three here for Ant, that massive leap. Jaden McDaniels, that big three late last night. I want him shooting the ball more. Like, Jaden McDaniels is a legit offensive player. They don't run plays for him. Like, I want him shooting more than seven times like he did last night. But Jaden is playing really well. D'Angelo Russell is shooting the ball better than he ever has before. So D'Angelo Russell deserves credit for that. On the trade deadline, February 9th, the Wolves continue to receive a bunch of phone calls. Naz Reid, even Torian Prince, you know, some other guys. I know Russell's name has been bandied about. Phil, I've been on record now going back about 3 weeks. I'll reiterate it now. I, for the last 3 weeks, have seen D'Angelo Russell here, not elsewhere, on February 10th, the day after the trade deadline. So I think D'Angelo Russell is here, not elsewhere, on February 10th. Maybe a signing trade happens in the summer. Not sure I see Russell here next year, but February 10th, I see him here. As of right now, or at least as of last night, the Wolves are not remotely close to any sort of trade.
So, Dukes, here's my question then. So if D'Angelo is here and eventually Kat comes back, it might be March, who knows. But anyway, how do you see this shaking out? Because, I mean, as difficult and as up and down as the season has been, there has now been a significant period of time in which Ant has emerged into the role that we all sort of saw Ant at. So when Kat comes back, when you've got your roster back, how is this going to look then? And like, how much is there going to be in, I would guess, an observatory period too, to decide what this team should look like on opening day next season, based on the fact that I think we all agree with one thing. We all like where Ant is at. Like, this feels like the right formula. You just need to put the pieces of the puzzle back in. How's that going to shake out, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, when looking ahead to next October, opening night of the 23-24 season, like, let's see how the rest of this year plays out. I mean, clearly, Ant needs to be the alpha, you know, but how will Kat adjust? Yeah, I mean, Kat will be back. Like, I'm telling you, like, I've never once heard this is a season-ending type injury, but I did think he'd be back this calendar month. That is not going to happen. But February seems realistic, right? I mean, we've got 28 days to play with. I would hope by the end of February, but maybe it's March, but he will be back. I think that's a good problem. Like, to me, from a spacing standpoint, the way Kat can space the floor, open up the lane that much more for Ant. Like, hopefully Kat is not jacking up 25 shots a game, something crazy, so he's going to have to defer that way. But we even saw it before the injury. Like, his assist numbers have gone up. Right, I mean, he's been moving the ball, so I'm not overly worried. Like, to me, a seven-footer with that skill set, you know, come on board, right? Like, Chris Finch should happily take that situation. The defense is the question, right? I mean, you know, how does he defend some of these fours, right? As long as him and Gobert, you know, start games, finish games, play somewhere in the middle, you know, we're not talking 38 minutes together, but whatever the number is, you know, can Kat, you know, guard some of these power forwards? That, to me, remains the question. But they will happily welcome him back. But, you know, in terms of how this all fits, we know this much. Ant will, you know, when he's eligible, he'll sign the max extension. You know, there's nothing to worry about in that regard. Like, no player in his position has turned down max money, so he will sign a max extension. So Ant has to be the alpha. Like, he is emerging into the alpha. He needs to continue to be the alpha. So I guess I get your inquiry about how will Kat adjust to that, but like, to me, that's a fine problem to have. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of worry with that. I just worry about Kat's defense.
You know, Kyle and I talked about this on Flagrant Howls a few days ago. The hardest part about this trade deadline. So you've got D'Lo impending free agent, Naz Reid impending free agent. Jalen Noel is as well, but I don't think he's like a top priority to figure out if he goes and gets paid somewhere, whatever. On Naz and D'Lo, you're trying to make decisions. You can't keep everyone. If you're going to keep Gobert and Towns, you can't keep D'Lo on an extension. Naz is going to get paid to some extent. Like you mentioned, the Ant, Jaden McDaniels contracts, like, you have to say goodbye to some of these guys. And the only time to do it and get value, unless there's a sign-in trade, which that's kind of crossing your fingers and hoping that if you carry D'Lo into the offseason, he either walks and you don't get the full $30 million in cap space back, or you could maybe like try to get him to do a sign and trade if he picks a team that, you know, needs help facilitating. But I guess my question is, how do you make these decisions now? Like, if you're going to trade Kat in the offseason, you'd probably want to keep Naz Reid around, but you might have to trade Naz Reid to get something for him
and make a decision before you even really know, because Kat's been out for 2 months. It's, I guess I'm saying it's very complicated here, Doogie.
It is, but it's asset acquisition. Like, independent of whether you're keeping Kat or not, like, Naz Reid is a functioning big man, right? I mean, he can be a starter. He can be a reserve. Like, the Wolves have tried for a bit to extend him, Phil. Those talks will continue up until the trade deadline. So that is the question. Like, if the Wolves can't reach an agreement with Naz, and as far as I know, like, they haven't been close at any point, right? If they were close, it would be done. And if you're Naz, there is incentive to hit the open market. Nearly half the league in July will have cap space. He can hit the jackpot in July. So I'm not quite sure if you're Naz why you would want to sign an extension
right now.
Don't. But based on the rules, like, the Wolves could extend Naz Reid today, right? Like, the rules allow that. They could extend D'Angelo Russell today. Those negotiations are taking place. Those talks, at least, are taking place. But there's no sense in my mind that Naz agrees to an extension pre-February 9th or even Jalen Noel. There has been dialogue on Jalen Noel as well. Not really anything hopping on the Russell front. But, like, to me, if you can find a happy medium, like, you sign Naz and just figure out everything else later, right? But you're right. At this point, it's trending toward, okay, Naz, unrestricted free agent in July. Would it make more sense to trade him right now? You know, Hoops Hype has said that the Nets have some interest. There was a report about the Nuggets having interest. Now, I will tell you on that one, I checked with two people in Denver. Crickets, right? Yeah. Like, they're not aware of Calvin Booth having legit Naz Reid interest, but maybe eventually. You know, the Clippers are looking for a backup big. You know, I mean, they don't really have a backup five, right? You know, Moses Brown, you know, not much there for me. Now, he's been okay, but Naz would be a clear upgrade. I will tell you that this regime, Tim Connelly and company, after John Wall was on the open market for a little bit when the Wolves were trying to navigate, okay, do we move D'Lo? This is going back to the summer. Is there a pathway for us to bring back Tyus Jones? But another point guard they kicked the tires on, I am told, is John Wall, right? So would you have any interest in adding John Wall in some sort of Naz Reid trade? Saw, but to me, no. Like, I wouldn't do that. I don't have interest in that.
Hoops Hype had Terrence Mann as a name, too, well, like a Naz Reid for...
Okay, sign me up on the Terrence Mann front. But see, I checked on that one, Phil, and I was told, you know, no, not for Naz Reid. Now, you know, if it turns into a 2-for-2 or some draft pick compensation, okay, maybe. But, like, I don't think the Clippers have a whole lot of interest in Mann being a centerpiece for Naz Reid being the return.
Yeah. Well, that's
fair. Hey, Dukes, because the conference is so tight and the playoff race is going to be so so tight, how much is that going to change things at the deadline as well? Because I would imagine that the sellers, there will be some, but there's probably going to be a lot of teams that still think that they're involved because of the top 10. And because, you know, the 10th team is not that far behind like the 6th team. So how much does this change the dynamic of the potential deadline moves based on that fact that there's going to be a lot of teams probably that are going to be reluctant to sell because they still have a chance?
Yeah, reluctant, but it is a seller's market because there are a number of buyers. So if you're the Spurs, yeah, like Jakob Poeltl, like, you have to move him. Like, why wouldn't you move him? Now, okay, if you can sign him to an extension, maybe, but, like, if I'm San Antonio, that's not a real hard decision. Josh Richardson, if I'm San Antonio, like, that's an easy move. Like, why wouldn't I move him? Now, you know, a team like Toronto, Gary Trent Jr., right, unrestricted free agent, like, what do you do? Like, Toronto, now, did they win last night? They were up big against Sacramento. I didn't see the final score late last night. Toronto is Jekyll and Hyde, though. Like, they are really good. They lost that game here when they should have won it earlier this month. Like, Toronto is so weird. Nick Nurse is a really good coach. They have good players. But, like, to me, like, what do they do with Van Vliet? What do they do with Gary Trent Jr.? You know, so, you know, but there are a ton of buyers. You know, that's what the play-in has accomplished, right, Jed? That a lot of these teams feel like, hey, we're not all that far off. Even a team like Golden State, nice win last night. Jordan Poole, a layup at the buzzer to beat Memphis, who's here tomorrow night. You know, Golden State right now might be in the 7 or the 8 spot. I don't think they're as high as 6. But, like, if you're the Warriors, you're just about, hey, let's find a way to get healthy. Who cares if we're the 7 or the 8? Like, if we match up against Memphis in the first round or Denver, Like, are we going to curl up in the fetal position? If you're the defending champ Warriors and you need to play games 1 and 2 in Memphis or Denver, is that that big of a deal? Right. So, like, there are teams like that, or the Clippers are probably in that boat. You know, then there's teams like the Knicks, you know, trying to be active. You know, where do they fit in? You know, pecking order in the Eastern Conference. You know, Indiana, we thought they would be a seller. You know, now they haven't played great ball the last month, but Indiana is capable. It'll help when they get Tyrese Halliburton back. But, like, yeah, there's a bunch of teams kind of, you know, stuck in the middle there, Jed. I think that screams that it's going to be a very busy final 48 to 72 hours. Like, let's fast forward to February 7th, February 8th, that there's going to be a ton of, well, for sure, dialogue. Not sure about a ton of action, but enough action. Now, you know, we had Hachimura go from Washington to the Lakers this week. You know, so there's, you know, trade here, trade there. But I just think it's going to be a really, really active final 48 to 72 hours. Now, on the Wolves front, like, I just wonder if you stay status quo. Like, what move is really out there? Like, Torian Prince helps them too much on the court. Like, I'm not trading Torian Prince. You can trade Torian Prince to bring in somebody else, but why would you move Torian Prince?
I think you'd look to move D'Lo if you wanted to get some value for him.
Well, and that goes to kicking the can down the road, right? Because, yeah, the cap is going up, but when you think about the luxury tax, potential luxury tax ramifications 3 years, 4 years out with the Ant Max extension, Gobert still on the hook, the Cat Max extension will have kicked in by then. Right, so the idea would be, let's just kick the can down the road. We have that salary cap slot. Can we bring in somebody? It's not Kyle Lowry. The Wolves are not doing Russell for Lowry straight up, something I brought up 6 weeks ago, and then the national media picked up some steam on that. But that would be the idea, that you'd bring in somebody like a Mike Conley Jr., although I don't think Utah's doing that, but that is under contractual control for one more year. So you would kick the can down the road in that regard. That's why you would move Russell, because they still need a starting point guard for next year. So if you could bring in a starting point guard for next year that can also help you now, then yes. Like, I don't think Tim Connelly is saying I can't move D'Angelo Russell. I'm just saying I don't know if I see something coming to fruition. That's why I foresee Russell here on February 10th.
Yeah, and the development too of Point Ant, he's been handling the ball a lot more often with comfort, and his game has flourished. It's less important that you have a $30 million point guard that also, as he told Yahoo, considers himself an alpha. You know, hey, D'Lo, and D'Lo's been playing some of the best basketball of his career over the last 2 or 3 months, and so he deserves huge credit. But when he was asked a question by Yahoo about, hey, what's it been like sort of mentoring Ant and helping him develop, and his response, and again, we're just seeing it in article form, so maybe it was edited or clipped, but his response was, I'm an alpha too. It's like, okay, but I don't know that dynamic. I think if you're not sort of deferring to Anthony Edwards long term, there's probably not a place for you in that backcourt. And it feels like he wants to be the guy in a backcourt still at this stage in his career. But they're playing pretty well together too. It seems like they're feeding off each other better than they have in 3 years.
Russell has adjusted.
It's a really interesting dynamic.
Russell deserves credit. Now, in Russell's defense, you think about his background in high school, plays at one of those basketball factories, then goes to Ohio State, 1 and done, number 2 overall pick in the draft, signs the big contract with the Warriors. Like, he's been treated, going back to when he was 15, 16 years old, as an alpha, right? Yeah. He's been treated as a guy that when you go number 2 in the draft, you are, you know, treated like a superstar. We know he's not a superstar, but he's been treated like that. So I understand, you know, when he delivers that line to Jake Fisher of Yahoo, you know, and whatever it was, paraphrasing, I'm an alpha, whatever. Like, I do get it from his standpoint. I know he's not, but I understand where he's coming from.
He seems to get his role, though, I think.
He has. He deserves credit. Yes.
I guess my whole thing with Cat out is, what I like is, everyone is sort of now fit into a role, which is Ant in a starring role. So, like, it'd be different if D'Lo said, I'm an alpha too, and then was basically like, I got to have the ball, blah, blah, blah. And there are times he shoots too much. But that being said, I think that he's actually fit into a nice role here. And I don't think he's a problem when he's playing like this. This is why I go back to the Cat thing is, the one piece of the puzzle I'm curious about is can Cat fit into a new role as far as what's expected of him?
Because, well, I think, you know, he can. I mean, I don't know for sure. I think he will be able to. That he realizes, you know, we do have a chance. That the Western Conference is pretty darn wide open. Let's just find ourselves in that mix come early April. You know, if we can get as high as 5, 6, maybe even 4, the preseason goal of being top 4, like, we can make some noise. Like, okay, Denver and Memphis deserve all sorts of credit, but, like, why can't we go mano a mano with them, right? Like, we had Memphis beat them anyways last April. They're now down, you know, Melton and Kyle Anderson, and I get it. You know, Jackson's maybe playing at a higher level. Ja Morant's playing at a higher level. You know, Desmond Bane is still really, really good, as underrated a player as there is in the league. Tyus has been playing well. I get all that. Very well coached. Jenkins, really good coach in Memphis. But I'm just saying, if you're the Wolves, you could look at it and say, you know, we're not gonna be scared of those guys. Like, let's just get in. So I think Cat, after all these years, year 8, right? Like, he wants to get to the second round. He wants to get to the third round, right? He wants to get to the finals. But, like, he, I think, is willing to defer. Like, I'll be surprised if he doesn't. Like, I'm telling you, if we revisit this conversation come March 15th, presumably Cat's back for at least some sort of stretch by March 15th, about 6-7 weeks from now, I'll be surprised if we're saying, what the heck is Cat doing? I can't believe that he hasn't adjusted to Ant being the alpha. I'm just telling you that. I'll make that prediction. Write that down. I'll be surprised if Cat doesn't adjust.
Write this down.
We already had this one. It was called Cat's going to be the man prediction by me about 6 years ago. It's still trying to quantify that one.
Exactly. Well, you know what? When you sign a super max extension, Phil, you are the man, right? I mean, yeah, to me, that's what it boils down to. So I would say, now, not like you went out on a limb, right? The former first overall pick. But yeah, when you get paid the money he's been paid, that will kick in here in the near future, not this year, but later on, you are the man.
We'll go through a final round of scoops here, starting with Vikings in just a moment. But Judd, tell the audience about, if they're looking for a group gathering specifically, and not just like 6 people. Right. If you have 50 people or a reunion or something, Park Tavern in St. Louis Park, the official sports bar of the Sports Dad.
And a fantastic place to go for a group. I mean, right now, that's bowling. You are, if you're obviously watching us, that is just the bowling alleys, which are fantastic, which your group can enjoy. But we're talking about a place with 2 bars, with banquet rooms for group outings. We're talking about a place that's full of beer, full of fun, and full of opportunity. If you have a party to book, guess what? Park Tavern can take care of you, and they can basically make your life as easy as possible with one phone call, 952-929-6810, parktavern.net, in the St. Louis Park community for more than 42 years. A place that's open 365 days a year. A great place for a great time. ParkTavern.net. A personal favorite of not only Sports Dad, but Scoopmaster Doogie as well.
It's in the hood. Yep.
I know it is.
Yep. Droogie's been to a number of birthday parties there. Love it at Park Tavern.
All right. So the Vikings embark on a really interesting 6 weeks here into the league year, and then draft season as well. Half their defense is over the age of 30. They've got a bunch of bloated contracts. Adam Thielen's wife goes on Instagram a couple times and publicly vents about how her husband feels like he's not being utilized the right way. He never came out and negated it. So I guess help us wrap our arms around what may or may not happen here. Who's likely? We just did a full segment on, is there any trade value for some of these players? What do you think the roster shakeups will look like in the next 6 weeks, Doogie?
All right, well, let's start with Brian O'Neill. They can easily create cap space by restructuring that contract.
Yep.
I would 100%. Like, more than anything, I would say that move is coming, right? I mean, we can recklessly speculate on some other moves. Like, that one, lock in, right? Like, that's an easy move. You create all sorts of cap space by simply restructuring. Brian O'Neill is still here, coming back from the partially torn Achilles. He's your starting right tackle in 2023. Nobody is debating that, but they can create cap space. So keep an eye absolutely on that situation. One other thing I would say I'm 98% sure on, they will look to extend TJ Hockenson. So in the process, lower the 23 cap number, keep him here long term. The idea when they traded a second round pick to Detroit was, we want him here for the next handful of years, not just for the rest of 22 and for 23. So look for them to extend TJ Hockenson. After that, yeah, I mean, let's recklessly speculate. I mean, I've been saying for weeks that I can see them playing out the Kirk Cousins situation, but those close to Kirk, like I know two people who say, yeah, like we fully expect the Vikings to engage us on extension talks. Like, why wouldn't they? Based on the year he had? Yeah, like absolutely.
Wow, dude, that yeah. is a level of hubris that, like on Matthew Street. Why not? You know, why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, they point to, you know, the big boy throw in London against New Orleans late. You know, some of the big boy throws in the Washington game late.
Yeah.
Right?
But here's what I would say. Like,
a lot of that comeback, amazing. You know, that nope. he had to do with. Not necessarily fine, the throw on fourth down in the playoff game, right? But that he had enough, you know, in the regular season to say, okay, like, why wouldn't you want him as your quarterback for the next few years?
But it's not that simple. And this is what,
oh, like, I agree. Yeah. That's why I'm saying I can see them just playing it out. Yeah, I'm laying out the other side and getting a sense that the other side is anticipating extension talks.
Okay, but here's the thing. I know I'm shouting at the messenger here, but it's not about Kirk. It's about math. No times, zero times in NFL history has a team won a Super Bowl paying one player more than 13.5% of their cap. Well, but the Rams last year are paying Jared Goff. Even if you want to split that hair, are you going to base your entire blueprint off the one outlier from last season, a team that went all in trading all of their first round picks for 5 years? I mean, you can. I think I would say, Kirk, you are welcome back for three more years if you want. We have to pay you less money if you want to win a Super Bowl. It's checkmate. Are the Vikings going to be the first team ever to pay a guy that high a percentage of their cap and win a Super Bowl? Like, look around the NFL, look around the room. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying, like, front office, snap out of it and stop paying him that much money, please.
Well, I mean, A, you can yell at me all you want. B, like, Kwesi understands that, right? And we can knock Kwesi for, you know, whether it's the draft class, some of the free agent signing, certainly deserves credit for the Hockenson trade, right? But, like, Kwesi gets that, right? I feel confident saying that. That's why I'm just saying I wouldn't be shocked if they let this thing play itself out.
On that, though, Duke, so I think that there's a very good chance that they will extend him by a year again through 24. Because, I mean, I
that's what logic says, Judd. I get it. Logic says that is absolutely what is going to take place.
To use Phil's term of checkmate is the Jefferson contract, which is going to kick in 25. So when that kicks in, I don't think that you can afford to have Darisaw at that point in time nearing a very rich extension, Jefferson on a rich extension, which is going to be bank breaking, and Kirk. So I think realistically, they'll probably do another year, eliminate the 2024 void year, have Kirk sign through 24. But then I think the most interesting question is this: are they going to wait until then to address the QB situation?
Yeah, I think 24 draft. Yeah, I do.
To get their butts going right now, though.
Yeah, I mean, subject to change. I mean, I'll be doing my research on the Florida quarterbacks, some other quarterbacks here as we head into, you know, Mobile Senior Bowl week, then into the combine. So it's not like it's not on my radar, but I think more so the 24 draft.
Yeah.
Trey Lance?
Well,
would you trade a third rounder for Trey Lance?
I would, yes. Yeah. Would the Niners do that?
Well, Michael Silver is saying, based on conversations he's having.
Okay, and he knows John Lynch. Okay, so that's fine. But I just wonder, in the end, does John Lynch make that move?
Well, might need a little, might kick in a little more.
I'd kick in more. I definitely
the Vikings don't
more.
Have a whole lot more to kick in. They only have future draft picks, but
yeah, I think 24. It's an intriguing possibility. Phil, I'll bring up what I brought up with Judd on Tuesday. So I was catching up with salary cap expert Joel Corey, former NFL agent, represented John Randall, Ed McDaniel, Chris Claiborne. So he's done a bunch of Vikings deals going way back, does solid work for CBS Sports. So I'm catching up with him the other day. He brought up the idea that the Vikings, it would behoove them to do the Jefferson extension sooner rather than later. Like, we know the Jefferson extension is coming, but don't wait. Be proactive. Beat the Niners to signing Nick Bosa to his extension. Because the idea is, you know, Jefferson not only wants to be the highest paid wide receiver, but he wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback. Well, Nick Bosa is also going to be in that boat, highest paid non-quarterback. So beat the Niners to signing Bosa, because once Bosa signs on the dotted line, the price for Jefferson presumably will go up.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Any other final scoops in your scoop bag here or final takes from you, dudes?
Sure. Yeah. I was just texting with somebody who is close to Dawson Garcia. The bone bruise, didn't play last night. Heck, the Gophers played pretty well last night against Indiana. Day to day. So he's going to try to do some stuff maybe tomorrow heading into their game this weekend at Northwestern. So he's still a question mark, but not any sort of long-term injury with the bone bruise. But can't say right this second that like he's in or he's out on Saturday in Evanston. Back to the Vikings. Dan Chisna signed a futures contract this week with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Vikings also made a comparable offer, but with his Penn State ties, you know, maybe just a better overall opportunity, he chose the Steelers futures contract over the Vikings futures contract. And Jalen Suggs back in town next week with the Orlando Magic. He will have his jersey retired at Minnehaha Academy the night before. So I believe Orlando is here a week from tomorrow, the Friday night. So that ceremony at Minnehaha Academy will be on Thursday night. So 1 week from today. You look at the Wolves, you know, back to the Wolves. You know, last night started that game in New Orleans, a stretch where 10 of the next 11 games, so now 9 of the next 10, are against teams they're jockeying with in the Western Conference. Orlando is the one outlier. Otherwise, you know, Memphis is here tomorrow. Sacramento is here, what, Saturday and Monday. They have a game against the Warriors coming up. I don't have the full schedule in front of me, but point is, they have a bunch of these Western Conference games the next couple weeks. So, like, over the next 11 games, now 10 games, we'll know a ton more about where the Wolves will be able to position themselves.
Yep. Great stuff. Great stuff. Doogie.
And on the Twins, they would welcome Gurriel, my understanding, on a minor league deal. I don't know if he's open to a minor league deal. Not sure I see them signing him to a major league deal. And, you know, like all these relievers are still out there. And Falvey went on the record with me on December 20th, the Joey Gallo introductory press gathering. And I asked Derek and I said, hey, you know, interest in retaining Fulmer? He's like, yeah, like his face lit up, like trying to read some body language and all that. Like I came away thinking, yeah, like there's legit interest in re-signing Michael Fulmer. Well, now a month later, like, there hasn't actually been dialogue. Now, he's still out there, so all it takes is one phone call. But, like, to me, if you have, like, legit interest in retaining the player, wouldn't there actually be dialogue on that front? And there really hasn't been to date. So, you know, I'll keep an eye on it. But to me, as long as he's out there, the possibility exists that they will re-sign him.
Yeah. There he is, Darren Doogie Wolfson, inside information about Minnesota sports teams. Thank you, sir.
Okay, boys, take it easy. Have a great weekend. Yeah, see ya.
All right. All right, and that is that's a wrap on our Mackie and Judd here, Reckless Speculation Thursday. Any just quick thoughts from you, Judd? That was a meaty scoop session there, a little 30-minute session there.
Gurriel does nothing for me. That's my
38 now.
Immediate thought, yeah. He does nothing for me.
The Cousins thing, it's like, dude, how many times do you need to run the same contract back and then wonder why you can't fill out the rest of your roster and then get smoked in the first round of the playoffs or not? Until either Cousins or the team finally says, enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
I think it's one more one-year extension.
If you're him, wouldn't you just, like, play on way less money? If you care about winning a Super Bowl, wouldn't you say, what do I, like, within reason, well, guys, I'm not going to play for $1 million, but, like, I don't need 35 anymore at this point in my life. How about 18 or 20?
If I cared about that, I would have, in 2018, in March of that year, I would have signed a six-year contract that they could move the cap around. Like, his first contract made one statement, and I don't even blame him, but it was, I want my money, and I want a short-term contract so it becomes the first fully guaranteed contract in the history of the league. Mm-hmm. So, no, I think the ship has sailed on, hey, Kirk, play for less. Until every team says, we ain't paying you.
Interesting to see what happens here in the coming weeks. All right, later. We got to go. That's Mackie and Judd. We'll see you for Feedback Friday tomorrow.